Let us now look at a critical infrastructure protection, so CIP. So this is another standard. So let us look at what is this. Safeguarding critical infrastructure is paramount to nation security and economic stability. We all understand that. So necessitating robust cybersecurity measures and coordinated efforts at the national and the international levels. The digital landscape is fraught with risks, especially concerning critical infrastructure, which encompasses assets which are vital for societal and economic functions. Let us look at what are the critical infrastructure. So, although we say and we all understand that critical infrastructure is important from the nation's perspective, what exactly do we mean by critical infrastructure? Now, critical infrastructure from our perspective might be, say, IT systems. From a country's perspective might mean something else. So let us look at what do you first mean by critical infrastructure? What does it mean in the Indian parlance? And then we see what are the safeguards or the measures taken in place. So this include, say, things like electricity generation, transmission, distribution. Now, these are huge systems. Let us not limit our knowledge only to, say, a few IT systems, but to broader aspects which relate to a country. So electricity generation is a massive thing. So there could be massive thermal power plants and companies like NTPC, and I'm talking about India specific examples now. So companies like NTPC might come here, or there could be say companies doing hydro generating electricity through hydro electrification. So in that, and then transmission, distribution, oil and gas production, transportation, distribution, again, these are massive and critical for every nation. Telecommunication equipment, so telecommunication towers in every city, state, province, district. Computer systems. Now, these are key computer systems. So say things like, imagine the entire Aadhaar-based system, which is obviously on some computer systems. But how critical is that? Because everywhere you see, Aadhaar is used as a digital signature medium. So it's critical for a country like India to ensure that Aadhaar has the right level of attention to ensure that it's part of the critical infrastructure and it's protected. Similarly, if you look at other systems like, say, the passport systems, again, these are critical computer systems. Again, coming to physical systems, so systems like water supply, water treatment, filtering, disposal, critical systems from a nation's perspective. Agriculture, food production, distribution, again, critical from nation's perspective. And this is critical for every nation, right? Heating, say things like natural gas, fuel, oil, public health services, hospitals, clinics, ambulances, the entire medical facility for a country. Transportation systems. Now, let's not limit ourselves only to private transport, but when we talk about public transport, rails, planes, ports, trucks, the entire road network, and even the waterways, so that comes under the transportation system, again critical for the nation. Financial services like banks, clearing houses, broking or exchanges, so security exchanges, commodity trading, etc. Security services, so these are the physical security services, so armed forces, military, police that safeguard citizens. So they again are part of the critical infrastructure. These infrastructure are crucial for various activities, say things like trading in the stock market, financial transactions. So you require the robust banking system, travel bookings, emergency services like say medical services, transportation services. We spoke about electricity, electricity generation, distribution, transmission, and much more. So there are dependencies and reliance on technology that possess significant risks. So the concept of critical information infrastructure or CII is defined again in the Information Technology Act of 2000. Now, see, that is the reason why I kept on saying that the IT Act of 2000 is very important. And it's listed here as computer resources whose incapacitation or destruction would severely impact the nation's security, economy, public health, safety, the overall living conditions, everything. So just imagine a situation where the agriculture system or the food production is haywire, right? So that affects the livelihood. The water treatment plant is not functioning properly. Again, has a big impact on the livelihood. Electricity generation, the road systems, the medical systems, the security systems, like say people protecting the nation's boundary, the military, the police who maintains the law and order situation. So these are all part of critical infrastructure where any change, any destruction would severely impact a nation, right? And as technology advances, these infrastructure become increasingly automated, interconnected, leading to greater vulnerabilities. In case of electricity, there could be potential losses in the electric grid. So just an example of how these vulnerabilities could lead to dire consequences. Countries like US and EU have implemented programs to protect critical infrastructure from, say, cyber attacks, terrorist attacks, and so on. And specifically, if we talk about India, even India has something called as NTRO. I mean, NTRO comes at the top of my mind. But the National Critical Information Infrastructure Protection Center, that is the NCIIPC, or the NTRO, that is the National Technical Research Organization, serves as the nodal agency for protecting the CIIs. Now, if we talk about the definition of the critical infrastructure and the agencies, so the below list gives an idea of the stakeholders identified by NCIIPC. So you have the National Stock Exchange of India, again, the stock exchange body, Reserve Bank of India, the regulatory body for banks, Securities and the Exchange Board of India, so the regulator for the stock exchanges, NTPC, the National Thermal Power Corporation for the thermal power plants and the electricity generation, NPCIL, the Nuclear Power Corporation of India, BARC, the Bhabha Atomic Research Center, that's where the entire research goes about nuclear reactors and so on, the TRAI, that is the Telecom Regulatory Authority of India, BSNL, the government body for providing telecom services, the DGCA, the Directorate General of Civil Aviation, controlling the skies and the aviation space, BHEL, Bharat Heavy Electrical Limited, ONGC, about the entity which is into oil and natural gas corporation, oil exploration, oil distribution, Indian Railways, Airport Authority of India, the governing body for the airports, the National or the Power Grid Corporation of India, supplying power and electricity, and also all the nationalized banks, the PSUs, the public sector banks, as we call it. So companies like Bank of India, IOB, Union Bank, State Bank of India, etc. So these are labeled as critical entities. Now, Critical infrastructure protection is crucial for safeguarding critical infrastructure from threats, ensuring that resiliency and maintaining operational continuity in the face of potential incidents. Critical infrastructure protection is essential for identifying and eliminating vulnerabilities in crucial infrastructure to prevent incidents. Now we all understand, because all these relate to nation's ability to serve its people, be it water, roads, airports, security, medical equipment, etc., etc. Hence, essential for identifying and eliminating the vulnerabilities in this is key to first protect these high impact infrastructure, and then protect the incidents. Responsibilities for CIP involve assessing the risk, determining the vulnerabilities, and defining the organization roles aligned with various sectors such as finance, transportation, energy, telecom, emergency service, law enforcement, etc. Organizations managing critical infrastructure like, say, oil and gas, energy, water, chemical, must address the vulnerabilities across the three interconnected zones. So enterprise IT, the SCADA systems, and industrial control systems. So these are absolutely key. Industrial control systems monitor and control industrial process in physical world. While SCADA systems provide remote equipment control via coded signals over the communication channels. So a CIP process involves assessment of the protection, vulnerability, risk, and mitigation to defend against potential threats. Critical controls required for CIP encompasses a wide range of measures, including identification of critical information infrastructure, access control policies, data storage, perimeter protection, risk assessment, incident management, and so on. Now, needless to say, if there is a, say, a nuclear reactor, right? Now, there are multiple aspects to protecting the nuclear reactor. One is having a physical infrastructure, that is a perimeter protection, in place. More importantly, from an IT perspective, because a nuclear reactor would have multiple SCADA systems running, hence it is important to have the right access control policies. So one, there are the physical rights to access, so who is allowed to go inside the particular facility, so that is one. But even from a logical access, so say who is given the access to particular modules in that nuclear reactor, basis the role based permissions, basis the principle of least privilege, or on a need to know basis. So those are important. Again, from the security perspective, things like not connecting the SCADA systems to the external world, no internet access, ensuring the security in the form of encryption, logical security like firewalls, etc., etc., are properly maintained. Effective CIP requires a unified national capability to protect the interconnected infrastructure elements. Lack of consensus on the infrastructure elements, interrelationship and functionality can lead to vulnerabilities. For instance, in IT organization, a lack of synchronization between, say, the backup cycles for critical project data highlights the importance of disaster recovery center, disaster recovery, and the business continuity after events like 9/11. So for, say, any of the banks which are classified under the critical infrastructure, you would have a disaster recovery center. a center which is created in another seismic zone to ensure that backups are properly maintained, ensure that business continuity is maintained in case of any attack or any threat to the primary site, right? And hence you see the point here where it mentions critical project data repository highlighting the importance of disaster recovery now. So post 9/11, what has happened is business continuity has been mandated for critical infrastructure. Let us now look at the process assessment or the ISO IEC 15504. ISO IEC 15504, it is also known as the Software Process Improvement and Capability Determination, popularly known as SPICE. So it is a standard for assessing and improving the processes used in software development and maintenance. It provides a framework for evaluating and measuring the maturity of software processes within organization. So ISO 15504 aims at helping organizations understand and improve their software development processes systematically. Similar to CMMI, the one that we studied, and it has got five different maturity levels. Even here, the ISO 15504 has five different maturity levels. So, by assessing the process maturity, organizations can identify areas for improvement and make informed decision about how to enhance the software development lifecycle. What are some of the best practices that they should deploy, and what are the effective measures that an organization should look at so that the overall software development process is improved systematically? This improvement can obviously give better results in the form of bug-free or a defect-free software, and hence this ISO 15504 is also looked at by organizations when it comes to quality standards or maintaining those quality standards. So, process assessment. So, the standard, this particular standard provides a structured approach to assess the capability of the software processes based on a predefined criteria. These assessments help organizations understand the effectiveness and efficiency of the process and identify areas for enhancement. As I mentioned, there are different process maturity levels. So, ISO IEC 15504 has a set of process maturity levels ranging from level 0, which is incomplete process, to level 5, which is optimizing the process. So, similar to CMMI, where you had level 0 to level 5, level 1 to level 5, where level 1 was organizations who engaged into ad hoc processes, and level 5, where organizations had optimizing processes with feedback and complete process improvement cycles embedded in the software processes. So every maturity level represents a stage of a process capability and indicates the organization's ability to manage its software development activities effectively. So what are some of the process attributes? The standard defines a set of process attributes that characterizes the capability of the software process. These attributes include things like performance, so performance of the software, adherence to the standards, process control, organization support, and many others. The assessment models, So the ISO IEC 15504 offers different assessment models tailored specific to domains or the type of software processes. So a particular software meant for the manufacturing domain might be different and would have a different treatment as compared to a BFSI or a banking. So these models provide guidelines and criteria for evaluating performance processes in areas such as software development, maintenance, and acquisition. So the standard covers six business areas. Now, what are these? So organizational, management, engineering, acquisition and supply, support, and operations. The IEC 15504 can be used in two different contexts. So one is the process improvement, and second is the capability determination. Let us look at the benefits of these. So adopting the ISO IEC 15504 leads to many benefits, and obviously we all understand benefits in terms of the efficiency in the processes, the organizational effectiveness, but improved quality, reliability of the software products. Now, better standards mean products adhering to proper processes, the laid down predefined processes as we spoke about, which guarantees improved quality of the product, increased productivity and efficiency in software development following set templates. Laid down system designs leads to increased productivity and efficiency. Better customer satisfaction, enhanced customer satisfaction, and better alignment of the processes with the overall business objectives. So, just to summarize, we looked at the entire IT landscape and some of the standards. So, we also looked at the landscape of IT compliance is continuously evolving because of the technological advancements. New technologies are getting adopted quite rapidly. So, say a decade ago or 10 years ago, we didn't have a lot of use cases of machine learning or artificial intelligence. But in the current scenario, we do not see any organization who is not adapting to machine learning or artificial intelligence. Hence, with the adoption of new technology, IT compliance also keeps evolving. In the recent years, the focus has shifted towards a more holistic approach, encompassing the various frameworks, laws, and standards applicable across different industries. Key areas of emphasis include risk management, cybersecurity resilience, software quality. We spoke about intellectual property rights, critical infrastructure protection. We also saw how cybersecurity resilience is absolutely critical in today's era, and where products, softwares need to be compliant to different softwares. By leveraging these frameworks, laws, and standards, organizations can enhance their IT compliance posture, strengthen cybersecurity defenses, and drive continuous improvement in software quality and process efficiency. As the field of IT compliance continues to evolve, staying informed and proactive is the key to address the emerging challenges and opportunities in the digital age. So, I hope this has been informative to you, and I'd like to thank you for viewing. I'll see you in the next class. Thank you.